Sweet. All right, guys. Call to order. Highlight Rural Fire District. Reminder to everybody that our meetings are being recorded. Is there any public comment on any items not included in our agenda? Okay, seeing as none, do I have a motion to approve or anything to pull for our consent agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, second?
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes. All right, pinning ceremony, new firefighters.
It's hard to hear.
Hey, folks, if you would please stand.
Definition of bright and shiny.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome, trustees, firefighters, friends, and family members. Welcome to the Highlight Fire District 2026 Spring Firefighter Recruit Academy pinning ceremony. Tonight is a special event because it reminds us that the future of the fire district isn't solely found in our fire stations or in our fire trucks. It is found in our people. People who have chosen to serve something greater than themselves. Tonight we recognize a group of individuals who have committed themselves to completing one of the most demanding training programs, not only in the state of Montana, but around the nation. Over the past several months, these firefighters have dedicated more than 250 hours to hands-on skill training, live evolutions, physical conditioning, and practical evaluations. They have successfully met the standards required for certification as a Structural Firefighter 1 through the state of Montana and the National Pro Board. These skills represent competence, knowledge, and proven ability. But they don't identify the most important characteristic of this group, and that is they are all volunteers. That means they chose to spend evenings, long weekends, countless hours away from their families and friends, not because they had to, but because they believe their community deserves someone willing to answer the call for help. They trained after long hours and school days. They showed up tired and sore. They balanced careers, school, family responsibilities, and personal commitments while pursuing a goal that asks far more than people ever see or are willing to volunteer for. At the Highlight Fire District, our mission is rooted in community, in serving our community with professionalism, integrity, compassion, and excellence. Those values we expect of every member of this organization, and they live up to it every day. Professionalism means being prepared and ready to serve. Integrity means doing the right thing when no one is watching. Compassion means remembering that every emergency involves people, people who are often experiencing their worst day. Teamwork means understanding that no firefighter succeeds alone. And excellence means never settling for good enough, especially when lives depend on us being our best. Over the course of this academy, you have demonstrated those values, and tonight we recognize that accomplishment, but it also represents a promise that you will continue to living those values every time you put on our uniform. Because the truth is, the academy is not the finish line, it is the starting point. Firefighting and emergency services is a professional built on continuing learning. Every training teaches us something. Every call teaches us something. Every experienced firefighter has something to pass on, and every firefighter has something left to learn. Never stop learning, never stop training, and never believe you know it all. The day that we stop learning is the day we stop becoming better firefighters. I would also like to recognize the incredible people who made this academy possible. Our training division, under the leadership of Division Chief Mac Malone, continues to build a culture of excellence that prepares our firefighters not just to pass a test, but to perform at our best. I would also like to recognize our academy instructors, Captain Meta Troutman. Where'd you go? And Captain Chris Leaper. Training firefighters isn't simply about teaching skills. It's about coaching, mentoring, encouraging, correcting, and believing in people until they begin believing in themselves and in their team. The countless hours you have invested in this academy have helped shape these individuals into the firefighters our district can be proud of. To the family and friends gathered here tonight, you are an essential part of this accomplishment. Every hour these firefighters spent training was an hour supported by somebody close to them. You've accepted the uncertainty that comes with loving someone who chooses this as a profession, especially those who choose to volunteer. The fire service is never an individual commitment. It's a family commitment. Thank you for your sacrifice, your patience, and your unwavering support. And finally, to our recruits. Not recruits anymore. Tonight, you will receive your firefighter badge. It represents the trust of your fellow firefighters. It represents confidence of your instructors. It represents expectations of this organization. And most importantly, it represents the trust our community places in every firefighter who responds when they call for help. Wear it with pride, wear it with humility. Never stop earning it. Remember that your greatest piece of equipment isn't on the fire engine. It's the firefighter standing beside you. Take care of each other. Hold each other accountable. Continue learning. Lead by example, regardless of your rank. Tonight you join generations of firefighters who have served before you. You become part of a team built on courage, sacrifice, honor, and service. We are proud of what you've accomplished. We are grateful you chose to serve, and we are honored to welcome you into the Highlight Fire District family. As your fire chief, I say thank you. Thank you for the hard work and sacrifice you have given so far, and for the countless hours yet to come. I am excited to have you on this team. I am looking forward to seeing what the future holds for each of you, and again, thank you. At this time, I'd like to ask each of our firefighters to introduce yourself to our Board of Trustees. Please tell them your name, where you are from, and what do you do as a professional or what you are studying as a student. Mr. Davis, you can start.
My name is Henry Davis. I'm from here in Bozeman, and I do this, and I'm a Sawyer for work.
Awesome. My name is Logan Gillespie. I'm from Missoula. I'm studying at the University for Nursing.
Name is Keegan Torsdahl, born and raised in Bozeman. Work part-time for AMR and volunteer here.
My name is David Morton. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska. I work as a civil engineer in Manhattan.
My name is Ben Tuma. I'm from Idaho. I do arborist work and volunteer here.
My name is Ashley Cornelius. I'm from Miles City. I'm studying microbiology in hopes to be at a medical school.
My name is Miriam Genter. I'm from Boulder, Colorado.
I'm my name is Sawyer Smith. I'm from Bozeman, Montana, and I graduated last spring from MSU with a degree in fish and wildlife.
My name is Clay Arby.
Thank you. At this time, I would ask you all to raise your right hand and repeat after me our swearing in oath. I do solemnly swear to faithfully execute my duties as a firefighter for the Highlight Fire District.
I do solemnly swear to faithfully execute my duties as a firefighter for the Highlight Fire District.
to selflessly serve citizens with respect, integrity, and excellence.
To selflessly serve citizens with respect, integrity, and excellence.
To support my fellow firefighters, our values, and show a continuous effort to improve our team.
To support my fellow firefighters, our values, and show a continuous effort to improve our team.
To uphold the mission of the Highlight Fire District, the Constitution of the United States of America, and the State of Montana.
To uphold the mission of the Highlight Fire District, the Constitution of the United States of America, and the State of Montana.
Thank you. You all may have a seat, please. At this time, I would ask your instructor, so we're going to recognize each firefighter for their accomplishment. They are going to receive a certificate of completion stating that they have completed the 250 hours that is our recruit training academy. So I will call individuals and family members, if you would like, please join us. Ashton Cornelius.
Just meet this person?
That's my sister.
Second.
Thank you.
babble up.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want some blood, Carly. Step up, man. You're going to have to move that up here. Good IC voice.
Yeah.
Thank God Ken is.
Do you have a pen?
Never be able to hear it.
As far as we're going to hear you, so close enough.
All right, guys. Firefighter Association.
How's it going, guys? We had our annual meeting last night, so that included our board elections. So I got officially elected as the president instead of just being interim. So I was very excited for that. We also have Evan Jones as our new vice president. He'll start attending these when he's in town. And then our newest board members are Ashley Cornelius, who just became a firefighter, and then Gary, who has been with us for almost a year now. So excited to have some new people on our board. Our big focus right now is the pancake breakfast, which is September 19th. Our main goal for that is obviously to get people from our fire districts, our community members in here, and excited to learn about the fire department, volunteers, and kind of what we do. It's also our biggest fundraiser of the year. So with that, we've got, we're kind of going around to different businesses asking for donations, both monetary and items. We're going to do a silent auction as well. So far we've got about $4,500 worth of both cash and merchandise that have been given to us for that. So we're super excited to raise some funds, and we've got pretty much the entire cost of the breakfast already covered through that, which is great.
Well done.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I have for you guys. I was also wondering, are you guys going to want a table by chance for this event? Like any rake fire station stuff at all? Yeah, I don't know if you guys went to that point yet. We kind of talked about it.
We talked about maybe some display boards, talking about the new things, so maybe something like that.
Yeah, it'll probably just be a typical display board.
Awesome. Yep. Yeah. So that's all I have for you guys. Thank you very much.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Revised proposal from Fire Scope Mid-America, Doug Forsman.
Yeah. So you guys have, from our last meeting, with our virtual meeting with Doug, he submitted kind of a alternative proposal for you all to consider. I would advise the board just kind of the direction we're kind of shifting a little bit. I did obviously read the proposal. I think this is kind of not quite the direction we are looking for, and I think kind of further discussions with the PR firm would be much more fitting for what I think we have discussed for where we are and what our needs are.
What's for like one of the big things that stood out, like is not a fit for us, just from this new proposal? Just not to get into great detail, but I'm just curious enough from your perspective. Kind of sealed the deal for you.
I would say, I mean, Doug has a wealth of knowledge in the fire service. I don't know if there was anything necessarily particular, but I just think from what I see in his proposal of, you know, what his strengths are with his experience is obviously, you know, models of the fire service. But I think where we are looking to go is more of kind of that public relation outreach, community outreach arm that I don't know that from reading the proposal, he necessarily, if that's his one.
That's fair. Yep.
What, if any, further conversations have you had? What's the PR firm's name? Sorry.
The
PR firm?
Liz Lewis.
Yeah. Have you had any more follow-up with her or conversations? Or?
I have. I was going to give you an update under the rate fire station.
Oh, okay. I haven't looked at Forsman's revised proposal. Is there any of his strengths that we might leverage? Like, I think the PR firm is what we're looking for sure. It's just a comprehensive, you know, package that we don't have the time to do.
Yep.
Is there just any role for Forsman to provide a component part to that leverages? He probably knows more about the fire services, right? Like the day-to-day on the line operations than she does.
Yep.
Did you see any value in there, like engaging him? I guess it would be like as a subcontractor to provide a component piece to her report.
I hadn't considered that.
So, like, just one thing that I think we're going to have to need to get, and maybe you and Chris can do this, is you know, the entire sell book, right?
Right.
The package of, like, here's the pitch we're making to the residents, here's response time, blah, 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 blah. And you may say, you know, that's a piece that if we could outsource it to Doug, that would be a huge time saver, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just asking the question.
I would say he would be helpful to help if we were considering, and I guess it depends on where the board is feeling, of how solid we are on, like, the location we have, or if we want to. I think where Doug's strengths would come into play is if we want, you know, more of that kind of strategic plan, in a way of, you know, is the fire station in the best location? Is there a different spot that's going to improve, you know, response times? I don't know for sure if that's something that the board would like to look into. We could.
I think that horse has gone out of the barn, right? We got the land.
Right.
I mean,
buying
5 acres in this, you know. I think even if it ain't perfect, it's what we got.
Yeah, and I do think even Liz can help us with kind of the, you know, even if improving relationship of, you know, what our communication between us and the city, what we're doing, what the city future plans are, to try to coordinate that effort as best as possible.
Yeah. I mean, she's going to produce, and probably what she'll do is translate you and Chris, when you're talking fire speak, into a pitch book, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, here's the rationale, here's what we've done.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Okay. I think Doug is just not a great fit for what we're looking for.
Yeah, and that would be my agree and recommendation as well. I think for what we're looking for, it's just not quite a match.
So you want a decision?
A decision would be good, just so we can give him kind of our result.
So do you want to just cut it clean and tell them that we're going to go another direction, or do you want to let them know that we're pursuing other opportunities and we'll let them know if we need services?
I think that sounds great if you put it into a motion.
A second?
Second.
Okay.
JJ?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Appointment of a trustee to the Impact Fee Coalition of Gallatin County Fire District.
So this request has come through the Gallatin Gateway Fire District. Give you guys a little bit of background, and Pete, JJ, if I misspeak it, I'll correct me. We collected fire impact fees up until roughly 2008, 2009. And then the county essentially got rid of that. Gallatin Gateway is kind of got a new head of steam to take on. They would like to explore, with hopefully the county's support, to revisit the topic of fire impact fees. And if you guys aren't familiar, fire impact fees would essentially be a fee that was collected per development, per kind of living unit, that goes to essentially bolster the services as a result of new development. Their request is they would like to kind of create this coalition with the fire districts to explore this. So their ask has been, for obviously my involvement as well as a trustee's involvement.
What is the chief's considered opinion?
Is it a one-time fee, or is this a monthly fee service that we used to have?
New construction.
Okay. New construction, yeah. So it's a one-time fee on a new construction.
Okay.
Yeah. They still have them for roads and everything else, right? But it's just the fire service piece of it has been discontinued?
Yeah. Is that what? Like the city of Bozeman, the city of Belgrade, they collect fire impact fees. There are impact fees. I don't know, JJ, if you know in the county what is collecting fees.
What else? All the fire stuff outside of the cities went away.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know of...
Is like county roads or anybody collecting anything? I can give you...
Legislature has severely restricted local government's ability to do anything even related.
Yeah.
My immediate reaction here is, that's a loser, but also I know that you can't get what you don't ask for.
Yeah.
Right.
And obviously, I think kind of what is spurring their interest is, you know, we have a different commission than what we had when the fire impact fees went away. I think there's interest in approaching this current commission on what their feelings are would be towards them. Obviously, this a fire district by state law cannot collect the impact fee. It has to be administered by a city or county government. So the county would have to do it on our behalf.
And how would that happen? There would be a vote of the county residents, or would it be de facto by the commission?
I don't know for sure. I mean, I don't know what the impact fee. I know with RIDs, you have the option to either ask the public or the county can just implement it without a vote. I don't know what the impact fees. I don't have any knowledge of that going to public vote. I believe it would just be, if the county would support it, it would just be by motion of the county commission.
So is Gateway interested? Obviously, they're interested in more money.
Mm-hmm.
And they think this is the better way to get it rather than a levy or a...
Every new home built, $500 or something?
I think it offsets a little bit, right? I don't think it's a complete replacement. But.
Yeah, I mean, I think Missoula County currently collects a fire impact fee. And I think a single family home is a $500 fee. And then they go up to like a $2,500 fee for like larger commercial, multifamily units, that kind of stuff. I would say my personal opinion, and as JJ mentioned, so the legislature passed a new law last session that restricted it. There is new language on what those impact fees can be paid for. They specifically have to pay for, I believe, new capital projects. They can't be part of your operating budget. And I believe I would have to look into, I think they restricted the amount that you can ask for, but I'm not positive on that.
How do we feel this is going to go with the new ambulance district and all that kind of stuff, adding more money?
Well, every ask is competing. I think if you want to look for a positive out of fire impact fees is it does kind of put more emphasis on the development that's occurring to kind of help improve services rather than current taxpayers just being asked to pay more. I will say, I mean, if you, I don't know, JJ, do you even remember what the fee was, or Pete,
I don't
know, back when we collected it? I don't actually know what it was. But I just think about, I mean, for our district, if the development that's occurred by the Ray Fire Station, if we would have collected per structure fee on that,
it'd be significant.
It'd be significant, yeah.
We'd be buying that new station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's controversial. I think it depends on... Ultimately, when Gateway reached out to me, I said, you know, before we get too far down this rabbit hole, I think we need to have a conversation with the county and know, is this even going to be considered, or is this just going to be a big effort to get told no?
That's a really good idea.
Because that is a factor.
And the coalition's made up of all of the rural fire departments?
Yep. So like you said, the city of Belgrade and the city of Bozeman already collect fees. So what their idea is a representative from one trustee and the fire chief from each of the rural fire districts.
Are they meeting monthly, or?
I don't even know if they know that.
Is it a one-time thing that they're going to go to the commissioners and present it?
Well, I believe I did read the law. The county would have to do essentially an impact fee study to create the basis for what the fee would be. So the county has to be willing to, again, they have to administer that. We can't, as fire districts, administer that. They have to be willing to do that. So obviously there's going to be work involved as far as getting that operation up and running to complete that, and then reviewing the results of when that work is done. So I would assume, depending on how often, how eager folks are to meet, that this would be a 1 to 2 year adventure if the county was in support of it. But I haven't gotten any word if they're wanting to do like monthly meetings, quarterly meetings, a once a year meeting. I don't.
I guess a little more information would be helpful.
Sure.
Like, you know, getting a sense of the commissioners.
Yep.
Like, they're like DOA. It's like, okay. You know, it's got some appeal because, as you say, new development is now paying, so our existing residents get a little bit of a how much would that be, you
know? Right.
And since we really are gonna, the optics of making ask for tax increases, we have our priorities.
Yep.
Right, so it's like.
Yeah, and we do have to consider that there are gonna be some competing efforts that
for sure.
We're gonna ask for a special project with the station, the ambulance project, if that goes to an ask, is gonna be out there. So there are multiple issues that are going to be considered. But I'm happy if you guys would like a little more information.
I'd be very interested in some more information, like what the law changed to, so we know whether or not the juice is going to be worth that squeeze, because it's a big squeeze.
Yeah.
And if in your file cabinet you have all the products of what we did back then, because that was the justification. It had all the ISO stuff and all the stuff that said this is how you get money before it's 2 years after it's built before you start seeing, although the load starts, you're 2 years behind or whatever it is now.
Yeah. I know there's new language in that new law that states I'll call it the study. The study that the county does has to identify a timeline that money is used in. And if it's not used in that timeline, it goes back to the individuals who paid it. If you are caught spending the money on non-capital projects, you are responsible to pay that money back. That's a couple of things I can remember from.
I'd be curious on some more data and get us the statute and all that sort of stuff.
Certainly.
Yeah, it's going to be competing against all the, knowing the commissioners that are there now and the third one that's coming in. It's going to be competing against affordable housing, it's, you know, those sorts of things. Pretty rough sell, but that doesn't mean it's not a worthy fight.
Yeah, we'll get you some more information.
Thank you.
And I'd be willing to explore it with you when the time's right, so no one else wants to do it.
So. Cool.
So this table?
Direction to staff to get more information.
Perfect. Hybrid administrative assistant position.
So we put this out there to have a conversation, obviously involving our administrative position, assistant position. We know, obviously, that Cheryl's soon going to relocate.
No, we didn't know that.
So, and it's kind of been brought up of the option to do a kind of a hybrid remote position for it. Kind of what Cheryl and I have talked about roughly is like a 1 week in, 1 week out rotation.
For you. Yeah.
To keep you on board.
Yeah. Kind of talked about like the weekend would be like invoice processing, and then a weekend when the board meeting's gonna occur. I would say, I mean, as a fire chief, I think it could work. There's probably some changes we would have to make, given the kind of inconsistency of 1 week in, 1 week out, if that's what we kind of elect to do. I would probably recommend that we just kind of eliminate our walk-in option for the public, just so it'd be just confusing to say you can show up this week. So we would essentially, from where we do now, the door is unlocked, Cheryl's there, the window's open, roughly 8:30 to 1:30, we would just kind of abandon that. The station would remain locked. We'd probably post a sign to say that the Highland Fire District...
Call 911.
Exactly. Would you still be doing office hours during that period of time?
Yes.
So what if there was a sign outside that said, call this phone number?
Well, that's what we would probably do, is to say, yeah, if you're here to report an emergency, call 911. If you are here for administrative help or questions, call the phone number.
What's the walk-in traffic volume?
Extremely low.
If I had to guess, it's about 1.5 people per month.
Wow, people knocking down the doors to see you. It's like sometimes, our board meetings.
Maybe if you weren't so grumpy when they walked.
That's right. You had coffee and muffins and stuff, maybe.
I can also have phones forwarded to myself.
Yeah.
So when I'm in Red Lodge, I could take phone calls just like if I was in the office.
Yeah.
Certainly, this is like it's worth a try.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't want you to leave.
Yeah.
So.
I will say, I mean, there's probably going to be some what I would call impacts. I don't know that they will be significant, but from where we can walk out of our office currently and ask Cheryl to do something for us, there's a little more legwork, obviously, either a phone call or an email. I wouldn't say that there's no operational impact to it, but I believe it's...
But being here every other week. Okay. So still doing.
What if we just put in a 3 month review and say, hey, is everything going good? No significant impact?
I think it's totally a management call. It's like Brian will know if it's going well or not.
Yep.
And give it a try and let us know how it goes.
I would like to, if the board's in support of this, revise a kind of job description and offer letter to Cheryl, kind of stating what the terms would be.
It's good. Yeah.
So we kind of have that all agreed upon.
Okay. I'll make a motion to do that.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
I'm glad we could work to figure that out.
Replacement of Ray Fire Station.
Haven't had a lot of public engagement in the last month. I mean, it's summertime. Everybody's busy out doing things. There's not a lot of HOAs meeting these days. I am trying to pick away at mainly the Falcon Hollow and the Woodland Park subdivisions. Those are the two large subdivisions right next to the Ray Fire Station. It's difficult to get in contact with them. They work through a property management company, essentially, to manage their HOA. So I'm trying to get around that to get into the HOA directly. But that's kind of been what I've been doing. I do have a couple more leads for HOA meetings coming up that I will work on. Right, mainly into the fall, into next year, when they meet again. The other business is we have been communicating with Liz Loomis, the PR that we did an interview with last month. We did go ahead and engage and sign a statement of work not to exceed $5,000 for kind of the exploratory work of kind of what Liz had identified as far as kind of surveys of the district and starting to explore what some of the cost impacts will be of this ask. Liz kind of came back to us with the recommendation that we kind of stand up that committee that she had talked about to include myself, Cheryl, firefighter, which I've kind of tasked Allie Kuntz, and she's accepted to sit in that. She did recommend, and one of my asks was going to be for a board member to participate in that as well.
I'd like to do that.
Okay.
Of course, I'd like to be involved.
I mean, it doesn't have to be one. We could do two. You just can't do three, unless you're going to post it.
That's my old argument with Steve White. It's like, Steve, as long as you're not making a decision, you can have three people in the car driving a Red Lodge. It's like, no, you can't be.
So the kind of next step, where we've kind of bounced some different things off of each other. She's thrown some questions at us, thrown a couple back at her. But the next step we're looking to do is kind of a kickoff meeting with that group to kind of see where everybody's at and further kind of outline our kind of statement of work.
That sounds great. And I think like one of the key things was she was going to get with Britt Eklund to talk about like what a mill value is. Okay, great.
Yep.
Just for planning purposes, I'm out of pocket the 26th to the 14th, August 26th to September 14th.
Okay.
But I'm available before that if you want to do kickoff meeting.
Okay. And obviously, we're going to do virtual, so
yeah,
if you want to do it at home, or we can do it at the station, because she's not here. Cool. That's kind of what I have for.
It's exciting. Get that started.
Yeah.
Fire chief's report.
Okay. We'll get this thing fired back up.
While he's doing that, I just came from four meetings.
Well, now it's ready, JJ. Okay, for my chief's report, 58 calls in June. That brings us to 360 as of July 1st. Our membership is sitting at 43. The command issue is ongoing. I have started working on, I didn't want to necessarily pack this meeting too heavily, but I have started working on Pete's kind of ask of what it would look like essentially if that was, you know, just a different model. So I'm putting that together. But we are, we still have six in the pipeline that we're working on shadowing. Hopefully getting up to that promotional process. The Sourdough Station is full with eight residents. When I made this, it said three at Cottonwood. Cottonwood is now full with four as well, and the Rake House is full with four. Non-residents are continuing their shifts. The training is going on as normal, Wednesday night and the twice a month command training. We kind of wrapped up some structural fire stuff in June with piercing nozzles. As we obviously went through, our Spring Firefighter Recruit Academy has completed, and it's pretty well just time to shift right into gears to the fall. So Chris Leeper, who is obviously recruitment, if you have driven up Highlight, Chris is trying a couple of new tactics to explore some different target audiences. JJ, you got snacks.
Finally.
I did see that sign the other day. I double-clicked it.
I just need the map.
Yeah, so we have a sign posted, kind of looking to target some of that just ongoing traffic into Highlight Canyon. He's doing a couple of different events.
Just take it over by your spot there. Go ahead.
Kind of outside. We're obviously going to still do the typical Catapalooza and exploring how to expand recruitment at the university. But he's trying some different things with being involved with some rodeos and music on Maine, which has kind of had mixed reviews, so I'm not sure if we'll continue that. He's doing a lot of good work and trying to kind of explore outside of what we have typically done. We are going to run what we're calling kind of an accelerated Firefight Academy in August. We are starting out small to see if this is a possibility. So we're only going to do 3 firefighters to start with, but essentially the training division, with obviously a lot of work by Meta, is going to do kind of basically a 14-day with a couple day break in between, but full day trainings that we can get 3 volunteers to commit to basically at the end of 14 days they completed the 250 hours of the Firefighter Academy. Well, roughly, not the 14 days will be the Firefighter 1 portion of that. There's going to be hours outside of that that are going to include the rest of it. But it's kind of an option we're exploring. We'll see what kind of our success is with our challenges is our doing this. It's just another option to get more people through the door. We are doing currently a Firefighter 2 Academy that did some testing this past Saturday. The Headwaters EMS Committee is moving along. We actually have tomorrow a full day workshop to hopefully identify and nail down some of our needed tasks on the operational side. We have begun and are working almost very rapidly through our transition. If you guys remembered, especially during budget time, I was talking about we were switching from ESO, which is the fire software, to First Do. It is a big lift. It's moving all of our call records, personnel records, training records. It's essentially the platform that holds all of our information. And Assistant Chief Delthauser has been overseeing that and doing a tremendous amount of work on that. But that's moving along well. We have begun to work, again, one thing we budgeted for is a website overhaul. So again, Mac kind of researched this out for us, but we are gonna work with Civic Plus Streamline Web Services. They are a company that directly works with local governments to basically build and maintain websites. And from when we ran RFPs to kind of overhauling our website in the past, this is a much, much cheaper, affordable option. And really does some great work. I'm actually really excited to get this. It'll probably take about 120 days, they estimate, to get a product up, but it'll be ADA compliant, which we are now required by law to do, and just be a lot more of an attractive recruitment tool than we currently have. So.
Do you have example of websites that don't?
Could you
share with us a couple, just to see?
Sure, I can send you the links to a couple. Central Valley Fire District, they do Streamline. Missoula Rural Fire District does Streamline. There's actually, I can have the vendor send us a list. There's actually a very large list in Montana of their customers.
Thanks for asking my question, Bob. Yes.
I'm sure you all have been loving it as much as the staff has been, but Colin has been working effortlessly to get us switched over to from Google to Microsoft. And I think for the most part, we really have the bugs mostly worked out of it. He is here tonight to help anybody who's struggling. I think, you know, and Colin did the research on this, and it's just such going to set us up in such a better place that, you know, that Google was kind of pieced together as we grew, and there was different ownerships that we had. And this kind of brings everything under the ownership of the fire district, lines us better up with Microsoft Teams for virtual meetings. So Colin has done great work. Chris and I still sit on all of our boards and committees. Nothing has changed. Happy to always report no firefighters injuries in the month of June. All of our apparatus are in service. I did want to bring up to you guys that you will see soon a bill for the repair of the fire pump at Sourdough Station. This has been an issue that we are looking to remedy, and I think we have now a good plan of how we are going to prevent this from happening in the future. But that fire pump is extremely expensive. It's roughly a $25,000 pump.
Is it in the engine or is it a standalone?
No, it's the pump that runs the sprinkler system in the building. When that station was built, that pump is in a vault underground, and the water table around that station is fairly shallow. We've had issues with that vault flooding, and that
happens with that.
Yeah. That we had that occur again this spring. We caught it before the last time this happened, which Chief Rubisky was the fire chief at that point, but the vault completely flooded, like it was full of water and essentially destroyed everything inside of it. We did catch it at this point, but unfortunately it damaged that fire pump again. So we identified a problem with kind of the sump pump setup that had been put into place, that it was pumping water out, but it wasn't pumping it away, it was just pumping it onto the ground, so it was just recycling itself. So we now have it routed clear into a ditch to get it away from the vault. And Colin is also working on, we are going to put essentially a water detection alarm in the vault that will be tied to our alarm system.
So the vault has electronics and stuff in it that get destroyed.
Yeah.
The water comes out.
So hopefully we will get a notification if something happens with a sump pump and for some reason water is filling in that vault and we can do some sort of remedy to protect that equipment.
Are you using the same vendor that did the original?
No, we are using Summit Fire Protection.
They bought out the original vendor.
Yeah. And there was issues, you know, things, I don't know what happened. The first time it flooded, we found that they didn't seal pipes around in the vault. So water was just coming in around all the pipes. I think this issue was probably the sump pump issue, just getting overwhelmed. So I think I'm comfortable to say, and we're even looking at options of backup pumps, just because that it's a high dollar fix every time we have to fix that fire pump. But it is what it is. I mean, it had to go underground, right? The tanks that supply it are underground, so the water's got to get pumped from those tanks. But again, hopefully we have a good fix to prevent this from being an issue.
Is that also for filling the trucks?
So there's a separate pump. So by code, we weren't allowed to use the fire pump to fill the trucks. So there's a...
Still in the same spot?
It's in the vault, yeah.
Okay. Was that messed up too?
I think that was by this one. The last time when it flooded full, it toasted everything. Unfortunately, yeah. That one survived, but that's a cheap one.
Okay.
Other than that, you can see the spectacle we have outside. It's pump testing and ladder testing season, so that is Colin's week. Doing all of our trucks.
Perfect.
That's what I have.
Trustee activities. Continue to meet on the Headwaters EMS board or whatever the hell we're calling that. Still waiting, since we have kind of narrowed the scope and looked at and not trying to include our county and three other counties and all the interlocals that would require local governments to sign off every one of them for the one thing that would just be a nightmare. Getting closer on that. I'll be at the thing Thursday to look at the study revamp, which had some pretty challenging errors in terms of making assumptions about stations that will never be stations that aren't stations for the response areas. Like, they're not, it's not a station, so why did that? We'll learn more. The real answer is going to be starting to get nailed down. What kind of service delivery model, and then what's the cost? And that's when we're going to start, we'll start getting pretty interested to see whether or not that's doable. Okay. Question still begs for you all to consider is, we're going to, if that area, if it passes and all that, we're going to charge our residents a fee. And do we, in kind, say, you know, we budgeted X number of dollars for EMS in the department, do we refund that back? That sort of thing. Long way from done.
August 18th, next meeting.
Just as a reminder, that will be final budget meeting as well. And we always, they always seem to be able to get it done, but that meeting day kind of hinges on the county getting us our final budget numbers as well.
Send the invite like you always do.
It's looking all right.
It's good.
Working okay. We've got our September 19th pancake breakfast, and I think we're good. We're adjourned.